payasos no ponemos la pared. No somos muchos, no somos pocos, pero estamos todos locos.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And welcome back to another episode of Pocos Pero Locos. I am here again with our co-host and co-founder, Juan. How are you doing, bro?
What's up, y'all? Hey, glad to be back.
Yeah, huh? It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
It's been... our last episode was April 16th, I believe, something like that.
It was released April 16th, yes, sir.
And the thing is that there has been so much going on since. We took some time to write down some notes, and we're going to try to talk about as much as we can, at least like the main points of what has been going on.
Yeah, because right? Once we started writing it down, it was like, God damn, we've been doing a lot.
That's right. Yeah. And now, yeah, exactly. And not only that, it's like we've been doing a lot, but we've also have had a lot of games that we didn't get to do podcasts for.
Yeah.
I think that we've, as Los Roots, have taken on a lot of new roles. Our supporter group has grown a lot too. And I think that just has challenged us into making sure that the tailgates are running properly, that the section is running properly, and just having so many things to do, because even outside of soccer, we go to music festivals, we hang out, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of energy to recover from games and events and all that. So, We would talk about it every week.
Yeah.
Are we doing a podcast? Can we? And we would try to find ways. It just didn't work out. But I'm happy to be back here. There's a lot to talk about. And we'll start kind of from the beginning. But I think our main focus is going to be on the month of June.
June was a busy, busy month. So,
and we knew it was going to be too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Looking at the calendar, like, you know, I have that big calendar here at the house.
Yeah.
Man, when I looked at June, it was like, whoa, this shit is busy.
It's busy, yeah. And I think once we finished June or the events for June, we were like, yeah, it was just as busy as we thought it was going to be, plus some additions in there. So we'll start it off where we kind of left off, right? And one of the things that I know we wanted to talk about for sure was Coach Noah.
Yeah,
that was something that it was a hot topic when we stopped talking, or when we did our last episode. It was a hot topic, including some of the things that I said,
yeah.
Or that we both said. We both brought it up.
It was an interesting conversation because I was more on the side like, originally in that last podcast, I was like, nah, I don't like getting rid of coaches.
Oh, yeah.
And then when we looked at all the losses, I was like, damn, well, maybe.
And that's including losses from the
from
last
year. Season, yeah.
So
yeah.
His record wasn't all
yeah,
that
it wasn't
great.
Nice. But you were more on the side of, nah, we need to make a change.
It just, for me, anytime we have what seems to feel like a season that's just over, it's done, it's ruined, there's no catching up. That's what it kind of started to feel like for me. Not that we were there yet, because again, we had a lot of games left. But my thing was, under this same coach, I don't see us getting any better, you know? And
yeah.
So I don't mind a coach change when I truly feel that there should be a coach change. So let's talk about that real quick. On the last podcast, I know I mentioned like, or we had talked about like, when is the right time for Coach Noah to go?
Yeah.
Right. If that was even going to be a reality. And coincidentally, it happened.
Yeah, it happened.
He played one more game.
Yeah, he played one more game. It was the 2-0 loss to Colorado.
That's right.
And then they released him.
That's right. And it was of a shocker, but also not. You know, I feel like the team, you know, they have their process of dealing with that. But there was a show of frustration from the fans as well, at least
Definitely,
on our end. Right.
Yeah.
We have a, you know, we have a decent following on Instagram. And of course, the team follows us and, you know, people from the staff follow us. So we were vocal about it. Right.
Yeah.
About, you know, we want some change. And not to say that the reason why they did it, it's because of us, but I'm sure it had something to do with, well, we're not happy. The fans aren't happy.
Yeah.
Let's just do something about it. And at least for now, it seems like it was a decent choice.
Yeah, yeah, we're looking good. I mean, ever since they got the new coach, Coach Glinton, we've gone from 11th place to 3rd place, bro.
That's right.
And that's beautiful.
It's great. It feels so good to be up there. The crazy thing about the Western Conference, and I know it's like that in the Eastern Conference, but I've been looking at our conference, and the thing is that, you know, 8th place is just points.
A few points away, yeah.
Away from the top. Yeah. So even us being at the top, we're a few points from being really low,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You know, so it feels good to look at your team's name,
yeah,
so high.
See it up there, yeah.
On the table. But at the same time, it could be taken out, you know, pretty quickly. But yeah,
gotta keep winning.
Something that we did talk about, and I do believe that it's happening again, and I know it takes time, is chemistry between players.
Yeah.
Right. And that's something that we've noticed that it's starting to grow and get better. We did get a new addition, but I don't think that he has played a huge part in that. I feel like the rest of the players that have been playing from the beginning of the season are now starting to look a bit more comfortable on the field with each other. I still believe, and I think we talked about it in the last podcast, we need a striker. We need like a pretty solid leg. And I feel like our new addition could be just that, right?
Yeah, possibly.
Johnny, he's a great scorer, but I don't think he's a great striker.
Hey, Johnny makes bangers only, though. You saw
that. Yeah, what might be
getting too ahead of myself, but that last goal he scored in Monterey, god damn.
Johnny Bangers.
Johnny Bangers.
Yeah. It's a good name for him. And it's not to take away from his talent, you know, but you recognize when you have a striker, somebody who can get the ball and literally from anywhere just shoot and have a potential goal on their hands. And I don't think we have that just yet. We've tried to develop plays to kind of get in the zone and score that way, but it hasn't worked for us. There's only like a certain amount of space that we can get to before the ball is taken away from us. So I think that this new addition, and we'll talk about him in a little bit, could be really good for us, especially right now where the team seems to be in this nice place where they're just kind of vibing together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's looking really good. I don't know if you want to talk more about Coach Glinton, but ever since he showed up, we're 5-3-1, you know, 5 wins, and we beat fucking Tampa Bay, and we beat Sacramento. Like,
yeah,
those
huge
are
games.
Huge wins right there, bro.
And we'll talk about each one of these games, or at least like the Sac one, because this is a game that we all went to. But, you know, my spirits weren't all that high when we went, you know, just knowing that they had beat San Jose.
Yeah.
They were on this like undefeated streak. And we also did catch him on like a downfall too.
Yeah.
Where they were kind of not doing well.
I think
they
had lost a few games when we played them.
Yeah. So we caught him at a good time.
Yeah.
And it felt really good. But it felt really good to walk out of there with a win. But we'll definitely focus on that one in a little bit. Let's just finish off the whole coach change real quick. One thing that I do want to bring up is I don't want to speak for the team because I totally don't. And by that, I mean the players. But I can tell that there was a change in mood when coach was gone. I instantly started to see this friendship evolve. And I don't want to say that it's coach's fault or what, but I feel like just the losing streak period, you start to kind of lose faith in your coach. If he's not taking you to victories, you know, you're not playing with the same, passion as when you believe in your coach and stuff like that. So maybe I feel like that, you know, people's player spirits were low for some time, and changing coach just, although you don't know what's going to happen with this new coach, I feel like it at least gives you some hope.
Yeah, it seems like he lit a fire because
yeah.
The team's definitely playing different,
yeah.
Playing better.
Scheme is different.
Yeah.
The roster has changed a little bit, and just their formation. What I like about this is that Coach Noah was a bit predictable in certain aspects, especially with formation. And with this new coach, I feel like he totally, and it's just me, right? What I think, it's I feel like he actually watches film and he's studying teams and he's like playing to beat them, to beat that specific team, not just playing to try and win a game, but to try to actually beat that one specific opponent that they have in front of them. So anyways, I at least for now feels like the decision was a good one. I feel bad for Coach Noah because at least when he was with us, he was a great guy.
Yeah, he was cool.
We got to meet him a bunch of times. We got to meet him in San Diego once at a hotel. We were kind of kicking it with him, and great guy. But ultimately, you know, it's results what we're all looking for. So
yes, sir.
Moving forward, I'm excited to have him. I don't know if he's going to be the answer to us, but hey, man, if he's getting us to the playoffs,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like the Raiders, you know. They got that coach, and people are kind of weird about him, but he took him pretty far, you know.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, well, let's see what he's about.
What he's going to do with a full season.
Yeah. So let's see what we get out of this coach. So so then now after the Coach Noah thing, let's move on to the next cool topic, important topic, which was San Jose?
Our U.S. Open Cup game at San Jose. It was our first time going out there. I mean, the Roots and San Jose have played each other before, but it was like a preseason game. So this was like a first U.S. Open Cup game versus San Jose. And me personally, it was my first time at San Jose Stadium, which I got to say, it was really nice. It was a really nice stadium. A good view no matter where you sit.
Yeah.
And yeah, that shit was badass.
It gives us hope, right? Like, we're so used to the stadiums that we play in.
You know? Smaller stadiums, college 5,000 stadiums.
5,000 tops.
Yeah, a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Small baseball. But yeah, being at an actual fucking
MLS.
What was that shit? Like 25,000 or something?
20,000 at least. Something like that.
So yeah, way bigger than what we're used to.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, it was a good turnout.
Yeah.
A good group of us went out there and were in the supporter section.
Yeah.
And
what was fun about that was that we were going into it very optimistic. And I know San Jose wasn't, and still they're not at their best.
Yeah, they're not playing too good.
So that definitely played a role in the supporters that showed up. You know, I want to say it was like mainly Oakland fans there.
It sounded like it, especially when we were chanting like "Let's go Oakland." It sounded
loud,
yeah.
Especially on TV.
Yeah,
I got to rewatch the game, and the chants were really, really loud. And not only that, man, there was a lot of outlets talking about the supporters that went. Right?
Yeah,
there was, of course, the commentators from the game talking about like, wow, these guys are loud. The drummers aren't stopping. It's just a lot of good talks about the Oakland fans going. I know that there was some supporter groups that took a bus.
Yeah,
we ended up renting some vans, which is really nice. We got to take the Los Roots crew in a couple buses. I mean, vans.
Yeah,
and then so
a couple other folks drove.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. But it was cool getting there and marching in, chanting. Yeah. And then literally giving it our all on the stands, although we did lose.
Yeah, man. But like the first half, it looked really good. We were looking really good.
Second half, we had a red card?
Yeah,
we had a red card. I think Johnny
got the red card. Oh, that's right, when he elbowed dude in the face. Yeah. That's right.
And of course, that's what sucks about soccer is that if you get a red card, you put your entire team at risk.
Yeah.
And for the most part, if you're already losing and you get a red card, it's so hard to get back into the game.
Yeah.
And it sucks because now you're pushing that team to be just defending most of the game, you know, when they're supposed to be trying to win. I remember I read something like an article at the beginning of the season where I feel like it was the MLS that was going to introduce the blue card. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, really.
You didn't hear about that?
I don't remember. What's the blue card?
So the blue card, and I feel like they wanted to introduce it, but I don't know where it went. So I like the idea of it. I don't like the idea of changing rules, but because the sports are evolving so much, players are getting a lot faster. Plays are very fast for one person to detect fouls and all this. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at, you know, it was weird when we implemented the VAR.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It was weird for people at first because it's like, why would you look at a replay?
Yeah, and people didn't like stopping the game and, yeah, you know, the gameplay, I should say.
But now it's like you realize how many mistakes can come out of.
Yeah, now I wish we had it in the USL.
Right. Yeah, we've talked about this, yeah. Right? Like, we wish we had it. I know that in some leagues, they actually have two more referees behind or next to the goals, right? They're just kind of standing there because they also are close enough to see penalties or fouls in the area and stuff. So I don't mind changing rules. It's like the NFL. Every year they take rules off, they put new ones on. I like that the game can continue to progress.
Yeah.
And if there's noticeable holes in, like, let's say soccer, flopping is such a thing, and it sucks because it's now a strategy for teams to kill time, to get the other team more upset or more frustrated. And it sucks that that is part of the game now.
So is that what the blue card was? I remember reading something about, like, they were going to make you step off the field for a certain amount of time.
That's not the blue card, that was one of the rules.
A new MLS rule, right?
Yeah, so that is one of the rules, which is if you flop, you have to, like, step out of the field. Yeah,
for a couple minutes,
right,
I think.
Right. But the blue card, it's pretty interesting. What I like about it is that instead of going from yellow to red, there is a blue in between, right? So what happens is that your player will be kicked out for 10 minutes.
But they'll be allowed to, hockey thing.
Like a hockey thing. And what I like about that is that for 10 minutes, your team will suffer.
Yeah.
But you get the chance to get him back and then go back at it, trying to win, right? Because, like I said, it's so lopsided when, let's say, at halftime, you get a player that gets ejected, and then it's like for that rest of the half, the team is just playing to defend.
Yeah.
And it's not fair for the viewer, and it's not fair for the fans at the game. Your team is just not going to score like that anymore. Yeah. I'm sure it's really rare where a team can overcome a loss with just 10 players.
It happens, but it's rare.
It's rare, right. But it just makes it extra difficult, right? Yeah. Because now, like, you've got to play this, like, defend and attack mode. I don't know. I feel like the blue card could make sense.
Yeah, but also, how about just don't foul people to where you get a red card?
Yeah, that's the truth. But the thing is, like, I feel like one yellow and then the next one after, I feel like that's, for me, it's too quick. Maybe three yellows
three strikes, you're out.
Yeah, maybe something like that. I just feel like it's too you know, we saw it with our games.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we saw it with that game. We were doing so well, and then I get the Johnny thing, but it's like now you put the entire team at risk, and yeah, we weren't able to catch up. The rest of the game was not the same anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I would like a bit more of a show than to just go watch a team defend itself. So anyway, San Jose was really cool. We got to meet their supporter group there.
Yeah, the Epicentro.
Epicentro, right. Yeah. Really good people. Funny enough, they wanted to learn how we were doing things.
Yeah.
When that's how we feel about them, we want to learn what they're doing as well. So it was cool to interact with their members. And, you know, one thing that I truly appreciate by going to somebody else's house is when they are welcoming.
Yeah.
And you can have conversations, right? Like, I get we can, like, boo each other and all that. But ultimately, I go and I want to learn from them. I want to see what they got going on. I want to talk to their leaders and see how they do things, you know, because every time we get to talk to people about how they work their supporter group or their section, I learn a lot.
Yeah.
And whatever makes sense, I'll bring it back to our section and try to implement it. Of course, to just keep our section and our group growing.
Yeah. And what's pretty cool that at least so far, every supporter group that we've tried to walk up to and talk to, like, everybody's been really cool. Been really cool about it.
But it also takes us to go up to them.
Yeah, remember, was it last year or the year before that when we went up to Monterey?
Yeah.
And the security was like, no, you can't go up there.
We had Roots hoodies.
Yeah, and we were like, we just want to go introduce ourselves. And he's like, all right, I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah. And they were also a bit like, whoa.
Yeah, when we walked up, they were like,
whoa. But, you know, it's all good intentions.
But, yeah, we're just trying to say what's up.
Yeah. Because, again, there also is that culture of, like,
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and you get into bigger leagues, and they don't do what we do, which is go and talk to the other supporter group. It's like, it's on site.
Yeah, yeah. You took the word right out of my mouth. I was going to say, a lot of MLS and leagues in other countries, like you said, it's on site.
Yeah.
You got the other jersey on, and it's fucking...
Yeah. It's like one of our members, I won't rat him out, but not a Los Roots member, but one of the supporter group members. He doesn't wear opposing team... like he won't wear his Oakland Roots gear at an away game.
Really?
Yeah. He's just like, I don't want to fight. Wow. Like I don't want anyone to like
to say anything to him or anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't think it's that bad in the USL.
And I kind of like that, bro. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to go to every away game and get in fights, you know.
Well, right, you bring your kids sometimes,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
And other people bring family members, yeah. And
there,
you know,
people bring are their parents and older everything folks. And our kids. So
yeah,
it's cool that we could go chant, sing, every once in a while talk a little shit, but then that's it. The game's over and we all go home. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. And then so San Jose happened. That was a lot of fun. We lost.
Yeah.
But it was a great experience.
It was a great experience. I hope we play them again in the next year's U.S. Open Cup because that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then after that, we played New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Yeah, we played New Mexico in New Mexico, I believe.
Yeah, we had some
friends. Yeah. Some people from the SGs went up there.
And I think one of our friends was like, bro, we just sat down and I was like, let me go use the restroom. And literally, as the game started, they scored on us. And he didn't even get to see when.
Dang.
And it's when Paul messed up.
Yeah, when he messed up. Yeah, when he
gave the ball away or something.
Yeah.
I know. We just couldn't recover from that.
I mean, we scored after that, but still. Ended up 2-1.
And that, I remember that game. I remember seeing their supporter section. And they were all dressed up. And it turns out it was a theme night.
Oh, we were like, what?
Yeah, they were all, there was a lot of like crazy
was like a
costumes.
Pirate and.
Yeah, but some like really, really well made.
Yeah,
it wasn't like I know there was like a Santa and there was like a Woody from
Toy
Story.
Oh, so it was a theme night. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the theme was, but it was bring your costumes and stuff. So the next I want to say, I mean they're all important, but the next like important game that we went to was SAC. Is that are we moving on to June?
Yeah, well, check it out. So after New Mexico, we played at Orange County. We won 2-1.
Yeah.
We played Tulsa. We won 1-0. Colorado came into town. I don't know if you remember that one. We lost 1-0. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, here we are in June, baby.
June.
Tampa Bay.
And again, we knew June was going to be busy. We had planned it out just because there was so much going on game after game. I mean, we literally just got out of what felt like 1 week, 3 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was 8 days, but still 1 week, 3 games. And anyways, the whole month was busy. So what's one of the first things that we did in June?
Well, you know what? Let me take you back, though. Yeah. After our last podcast, we that very next weekend, it was Los Roots to Coachella.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, it's kind of been some time. So as you guys know, Los Roots, we are a really tight group of friends.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And it that doesn't only display at the games, but it's everywhere we go, we make it a thing.
Yeah.
And we don't just make it a light thing. We travel deep and we like party hard.
Yeah,
you know?
Hell yeah.
And what I love about the group is that if somebody has an idea, that's it.
Yeah.
We're all going, you know? So Coachella was a lot of fun. I enjoy Coachella personally because it always lands on my birthday. And so I used to go years ago. Like I went maybe like 6 years in a row and then I stopped going. And then the crew was like, hey, we're going to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, dang. All right, let's go. So it was a lot of us. Our good friend Eddie was there.
Yeah.
Melissa, Beto. Cynthia was there and a bunch of other folks.
Yeah,
that
Christian, Greece
was there. Who else was there? Jay. A lot of cool people. And it was a really cool experience.
Yeah.
So much that it got another half of people who didn't go.
Are going 2025.
That's right. Yeah. I remember we were here at your house and we were partying.
Yeah.
And we just convinced everyone to get tickets.
Yeah.
And one by one, we're like, hey, Juan got a ticket. And the next person's like, fuck,
nah, right, I'll get check a ticket. It out. I was like, nah, we can't go. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, my wife, Blanca's like, oh, yeah, I bought my ticket. I'm like, what?
And she bought her own ticket.
She bought her own ticket while I'm in the room. Like, didn't even.
No, no. She was like, well, if you're not going, that's you.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah. And then everybody starts, oh, come Luis on, got Juan, we got to go. And
Martin, Gris.
I was like, all right, Cynthia, here's my phone. There's my credit card.
She was buying everyone's.
Yeah, she was buying everyone. Like, there's my phone. There's my credit card. Hook it up.
It's a lot of fun. And I feel like every event that we go to, we bond just a bit more. Yeah, you know, it's we stay at hotels together, Airbnbs, and it's just a party. Together. Since we meet up at the parking lot, it starts to be a party till we, you know, say goodbye to each other. So Coachella happened. Again, a lot of fun. We're definitely going to do it next year. And then what else? Then we move on to June.
We move on to June. And first weekend of June, what do we do? La Onda.
La Onda, another festival.
Another festival.
And that's where it kind of like, we knew that once La Onda hit, it was June. Like, okay, it's time to party, you know, and do a lot of things. So La Onda, if you guys don't know, it is now a side project of Bottle Rock.
Bottle Rock,
and so it's in Napa Valley, and then they use the same stages, just like at Coachella. There's another festival that comes right after called Stagecoach, and it's country music, but they recycle or reuse the stages and the tents and all that. So it's the same thing. For Bottle Rock, they created an event called La Onda, which is mainly targeted towards the Latino community, and they bring a lot of Latino musicians, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, it was fun. It was my first time going to that, and that was really cool.
Yeah, a lot of culture stuff there.
Yeah, they had Lucha Libre.
They did. They had a lot of activities.
Yeah.
And sometimes at certain festivals, you'll get no activities, a lot of music. This one, I will say, I don't know if I'm going to go to it again.
Yeah.
The reason for is that there was a lot of activities, but the music for me wasn't there. Mm. I felt like I was only waiting on the headliners.
Yeah.
And there wasn't no, like, you know, lower
nothing
tier.
Nothing in between.
Yeah. And it was, it was still fun. It's always fun being with the crew, but unless they step up the lineup next year, because again, a lot of these festivals, they're not cheap.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And because there's so many, you now got to pick and choose which ones to go to. Because
definitely.
Especially, let's say, like you, it's two of you guys, right? So it's not like it's just your ticket. It's two tickets plus food plus drinks plus traveling expenses and,
like,
you know.
$30,000.
Yeah, right? Just for your wife. And $100 for you.
Just for what she's buying for that weekend.
Well, yeah, right? Here comes outfits and everything.
Dude, first thing we do when we walk in, go straight to the merch booth and...
Yeah, and they're not cheap.
They're not
cheap.
That's
the thing, you know? Yeah. So,
but it was fun.
A lot of fun, bro. Yeah. I don't think I've ever regretted anything that I've done with the crew. Even like we say, you get home and you look at your bank account, you're like, oh, shit, you know? But it's worth it. To me, it's worth it.
Hey, they're smart making it cashless because... It's real easy to just tap that card instead of having to pull out the cash and count it.
You can say, okay, I'm just going to take $300 and that's my limit.
Yeah, exactly.
And once you run out, you run out.
Yeah, but with the card, boy.
Swipe it, you know? I read a meme today that it said, I'm using Apple Pay like Apple's paying for it. You know what I mean?
bro, like, wifey over here. She was like, I want to get a beer. And I was like, oh, yeah, here you go. Hand her the card. And she's like, girls, who wants a beer? Oh. I'm like, whoa. Hey, easy.
Oh, man.
Round of beers on Juan over here.
She's not the only one. Melissa, you know, she always says, we barely made it with the money we had. So next year, my husband's got to work harder.
Yeah,
you
know? Bro. Damn.
So, anyways, let's move on. La Onda was the beginning of June.
La Onda was the beginning of June. And then we had the first game against Tampa Bay, bro.
Oh, yeah.
A tough opponent from the East Coast.
That was at home.
That was at home, yes,
and
sir.
Something cool about that is that that's the day that we were finally introduced to... At least on the field, Dom Dwyer, right? And that's the new addition to our front, you know? Yeah.
He's Dom Dwyer?
Dwyer?
Nah. Dwyer?
Well, yeah.
Hey, we're
butchering it.
Yeah, butchering it. But he made his debut that game.
We had him for some time.
Yeah.
But for months. And I know a lot of people were questioning, like, when is he playing? But I also understood that he comes from a big injury.
Yeah.
He hadn't played in some time. And so now he, you know, they, I guess from what I also heard was that the style of play that we were going into with this new coach, it was a bit aggressive for his injury.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they wanted to ease him into it. And that's exactly what they did. For that Tampa Bay game, he didn't come in until like the last 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't play too long. I think, like you're saying, like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
or so.
It was.
And I think he got a yellow card him. Right away.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I didn't even see him. I actually, I'm pretty sure I was drumming then. And the game was over and somebody was like, oh, yeah, he played. And I was like, wow, I didn't even realize that he was there.
Yeah.
But he has gotten a bit more game time, or about the same for Sack right after.
Yeah, he's actually, I think, I want to say he's subbed in for every game since then, no?
I feel, kinda? yeah, he has. Yeah, yeah. But it's still at the later part of the game. The
end, yeah.
But he's been in, and the little that I've seen, that's something that I know I said in the previous podcast, which is we need somebody with a leg. And I feel like that could be it. Like, yeah. I've seen him just on social media and, you know, in person, that this dude can strike pretty hard with both legs. And that's hard. But that's also really cool because ultimately in whatever position you get the ball in, you don't have to fix yourself all that much to shoot.
Yeah.
It's literally, if it's on your left side, you can kick with your left. And if it's on your right, you can kick with your right. So I'm excited to see him play a full game and see, you know, if he is a game changer. You know, that dude looks big. Like, and by big, I mean this dude looks big and muscular. So, like, I can only assume, like, he can take out defenders quick just with his own weight.
I saw one of those videos I think you're talking about where he's taking shots, I think, from outside of the box.
That's
and it
right.
was just like, damn. Like,
yeah.
He pretty, kicks it hard.
Exactly. You know? And he's in movement, too. It's not like he's just – it's not a still ball. Yeah. It's like he's in movement and he's putting power behind the ball. So – I'm excited to see that kind of develop a little bit and see if, again, if that's the person or the missing piece. Because, again, the team is starting to look like they're molding together.
Yeah.
So to add him, I feel like it's just going to shoot us a little bit higher up, you know?
Yeah, and fucking that game, we won 1-0 to beat Tampa Bay, man. That's that was a huge win.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think that's where like we were like, wait a minute, you know, is this luck or are we actually getting somewhere? You know.
Yeah.
And then what else came
and
out
then
after that?
After that, we traveled to Sacramento.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That one, it's always a fun one.
Yeah,
it's like I get a little nervous sometimes when I go there just because especially when you're going into a house of a team that's been winning.
Yeah.
Their house is packed. They are loud.
Yeah. Their SG section's huge.
It is, yeah. It's
at least the
section.
The section is huge.
Not the amount of fans.
Yeah, because their supporters, I think they only sit right down the middle, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's not the whole crowd that gets involved. Yeah. Which sometimes sucks. You know, I I'm gonna say this out loud is what sometimes grinds my gears is people who want to be a part of the section, but only for photo ops.
Yeah.
Or to be a part of it, but they're not there to chant. They're not there to make it louder. They're not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so they want to be a part of the section, but not.
Yeah, not contribute to the section.
To the section. Yeah.
And that's something that I get, you know, upset about. Let's say we have a trip planned at some point to go down to LAFC.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm going there to chant. I'm going to make noise and help them with everything that they need, right?
Yeah.
I could never go to someone else's home and not help them with what they've got going on, right? Like, I'm not just going to be there to take pictures and shit. Like, I'm there to, like, get at your level too, you know? Which at some point we'll be able to talk about it once we kind of solidify the plans. But definitely Los Roots has connected with the 3252. And some members, the president, vice president, and ex-president and founder of the 3252. And so we've connected with them. And one of our goals is to go and learn from their movement. They've done an incredible job in what they've been able to do there in LA. They were also, and we've talked about this, they were also flown out to Europe to learn from, was it the Yellow Wall?
Dortmund or something?
Yeah. And they came back with a lot of great information, as we want to go and learn from the 3252 and come back with that same information for our people. So we will get to that. That, I'm sure that'll be a podcast on its own, but we're excited for that. So moving, well, let's talk a little bit just quickly about SAC.
Yeah, so SAC, we got one of the vans again.
Yeah.
And we had some people drive.
Yeah,
and we had a
good crowd.
Yeah, good crowd.
Not as big as before, but
yeah,
a good amount.
We've had bigger
crowds there.
Crowds there, Oakland crowds, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we've had the section fill up more. So it was a smaller crowd, but we were still loud, and they actually let us tailgate this time.
That's true.
Which, yeah, that shit was
something
cool. Yeah.
They've never allowed.
Yeah,
us,
we got there early and we fucking tailgated.
Yeah, and I do want to point out too is that we have members who are part of the San Jose supporter groups, and we've been told, like, although we got a really far space in our tailgate
put us
area,
way out in the corner.
I've heard San Jose gets even like
further out
by right by the freeway.
Yeah.
You know, and that sucks. But it is what it is. You kind of got to go with whatever the away rules are. We do it to people, and so it's only fair for them to do it. Like, they're not going to make our life easy.
Yeah.
You know,
but at least we fucking tailgated, and then we started our march in.
Super dope, man.
Yeah.
I love how organized we were.
Yeah.
I do believe that the people in the supporter groups and the supporter groups themselves are, again, we are also bonding. We're also kind of mushing together, and we're starting to be on the same page about what we expect, as in for La Union, right? Supporter groups, period. And so, having leaders up front who are, you know, kind of organizing the chants and the march itself and making sure that everybody stays tight and together, it's really key. We were able to do that. So our march, at least in my eyes, was one of the better marches we've had.
Yeah.
Before, it's been kind of scattered a little bit.
Some
people left behind, some people up front.
Yeah, but it was a good march through the parking lot, and then they stopped us.
Yeah.
And then once we got inside, we continued the march onto our seats.
Yeah.
So that was pretty
cool. Which, what I like of one of their traditions is that when the opposing supporter group is walking under their bleachers, they stomp on the on the bleachers.
On the bleachers, yeah.
And because it's metal, it's
all
really
banging,
loud.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they're trying to shut us up. Luckily, we just kept it going.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. But a hot game. It felt so good.
Dude, we started off
to score
3-0. Yeah,
yeah,
scored
dude.
One.
And then
we're
another.
Going wild. Another
and then
one.
Another. It was like, yo. But then again, they scored 2
dude,
on
in
us.
The last minutes.
And it sucks, dude, because we've seen this happen before.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's funny is that, of course, like a lot of supporter groups, you start talking that shit, you know? And then you're starting getting cocky with what you're saying. We were chanting some cocky
shit.
We
started chanting 3-0.
I know. And then we went to 3-1.
And then they score. And we're like, it's all right. 3-1. And then they score again. It was like, stop chanting.
Yeah, stop chanting.
Stop it with the score.
Yeah, bro. So it was definitely nerve-wracking, like, towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
Because they also added, I want to say, like, 6 minutes or something.
Yeah, it was a lot of time.
And SAC was on fire.
Yeah.
You know, so they were, like, ready to
score.
Yeah,
they were attacking a lot towards the end.
Yeah.
But we kept chanting, though. We kept going.
That's the key, you know, and a lot of people praise us for that, that it's like, hey, it does not matter what the score is. You guys are always going at it. And we've definitely seen supporter groups give up. Like, New Mexico is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Once we tied, we were losing 1-0.
When
we were losing, they were out loud, flags up in the air and stuff. But the moment we tied, until the moment they scored again on us, they were quiet.
Yeah.
They weren't getting up or anything, and that's not fair either.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I always say this, being in a supporter group, it's a responsibility.
Yeah.
And you should not give up because, you know, your team's losing. Then what actual support are you giving the team?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we say 90 minutes plus.
90 minutes plus.
We fucking don't stop, win or lose.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll talk about another one that's important. We'll talk about that 90 minute plus.
And you know what? That was even pointed out on TV by the announcers. yeah. of how loud we were and how Sacramento's SGs were quiet.
He did say that. What did he say? He was like, Section 111,
yeah,
going wild, making the noise. And our supporter groups, they are very quiet. It's cool to hear. Yeah. And the cool thing is that it's at every game that the announcers are always acknowledging.
They've noticed.
Yeah, the drummers, the noise, and just the energy that we provide. Not only that, the players, the coaches, everybody that comes up to us, they're like, first of all, I don't know how the hell you guys do it like that. But second, it's like, who was it? I can't remember who it was. It was one of the coaches, assistant coaches. He came up to us and he was like, we play to your beat.
Oh, you know? I was there for that conversation. Yeah.
He was like, you guys are our tempo.
Yeah.
You know, so if you guys are loud and fast and going hard,
yeah,
it does not allow us to take a break.
Yeah.
We got to play like you guys are playing, you know? So that's really cool to hear that our efforts are being heard on the field
as
well.
Yeah, they're being heard. Yeah, that's really cool. That's when I was like, so what you're telling us is no slow chance.
And yeah,
he was like,
oh yeah.
Not till the end.
Not till the end.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that was cool. Sac was cool to walk out of there with a win. I want to say it's the first time that we walked out.
First time we win in Sacramento, I believe. Yeah,
sheesh. That shit. And we've been there maybe like four times.
Something like that, yeah.
So it was really good. Their fans did not like it. They had a fireworks show after.
Yeah,
so we
all for our win. That was really cool.
Yeah, right? They were like, Roots win. Let's light up the fireworks, you know? Screw 4th of July. Let's fire them right now.
Yeah, we stayed for the fireworks.
Well, we had to.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't. Yeah. They wanted us to.
But it was still fun, yeah. They don't. One thing about SAC, and in some places, they don't allow us to leave until all the fans leave first.
Yeah.
The opposing fans, which I get it, it's for our safety and stuff. So that was fun. And then after SAC, that was going to be a busy week.
Yeah.
We knew that, starting with SAC.
So we made the trip to SAC, and then we had, the following game was on a Wednesday, but we had a little thing to do on Tuesday.
That's right. And I'm glad we can talk about it. So we had the USL reach out. The USL does, I want to say, like 2 episodes per season.
Something like that, 2 or 3. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they do this show, which is really cool. Juan had shared it with me a while ago, which is called The Experience.
Yeah, on YouTube.
On YouTube, that's right. And what I really like about that is that they focus truly on the supporter groups and the supporter section of a certain team. So we were able to watch like Pittsburgh and a couple other ones, right? So they get to focus on, you know, the leaders of the groups.
Yeah, how groups came to be and history.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Yeah, check it out on YouTube.
And especially being a part of a supporter group, like I always tell people, anytime I watch a USL game, even if it's not the Roots and I'm just watching a USL game, one of the first things I look for
is the SG section.
Yeah, because I just want to see what they're about, what kind of drums they take.
Yeah, what they're doing.
Yeah. If they, you know, and sometimes we've been like, oh, look, they get allowed to pop smoke. You know, some are bigger, some are smaller, but it's always cool to check out. So this show is really cool because they fully go into depth about every a little bit about the team. And that's what I like the most, is that their focus is not on the team itself. It's truly about the supporter groups. Right. And so they reached out and they wanted to film us here in Oakland.
Yeah.
And we got to go with our good friends from the Hooligans. There's Forever Oakland and the 68s were part of it as well, which is really cool. The 4 main SGs that are there. It's cool to see everyone kind of come together and kind of share their experience on how they became a supporter group and why they continue to support and what rituals they have for before games, after games. And so you and I got to go. We show up to the Roots training facility.
Yeah.
And I was a bit nervous. I don't like being on camera.
Yeah.
Podcasting is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Although it's still, I get nervous every time, but it's just easier because then we're just having a conversation. But having a camera and then having questions asked, you know, that you're not aware of.
I know, they just bro. That's why, I don't know if you remember. I was like, did they give you the questions beforehand?
Yeah.
You know?
I should have asked, but I don't know if they had them just yet.
Yeah.
I feel like the questions that they asked us truly belong to asking us questions about our own supporter group the way that we are, right? Like,
yeah,
they were focusing on the Latino aspect of things.
I bet they didn't ask us the same questions that they asked the Hooligans or they asked the 68s. I think she studied us
a little bit.
Yeah, she must have studied us and picked questions for each one of us. So that's pretty cool.
And I know, too, that they were asking the staff, right? Like, the team itself, like, who are these guys? What do you guys notice from them? And, you know, and then that's how they started to build these questions. So, yeah, they hit you with some random questions. And then what sucks about that, it's that you're being filmed and you can't just be like, wait, let me do that again. I mean, I guess you can, but.
Yeah, I guess. But no, we just rolled with it, rolled with the questions.
Yeah.
But, you know, it always happens. Even with this podcast thing, like after I'll listen to it or after we're done and I'll think about some of the stuff we said, I'm like, why did I say that? Like,
I know.
Why did I say that?
But, or why did I say a lot of ums?
A lot of ums, a lot of likes. Yeah. And hopefully they do some good editing and fix my shit because.
But, you know, and you and I talked about this. I've never watched a show and been like, wow, that guy just said so many times.
That's
unless it's like crazy noticeable. Yeah. But for the most part, you're just listening.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we all speak with ums and likes, and you know, it's the overthinking that gets me when we're doing stuff like that.
But going back to that whole USL experience, it's really cool that they considered, you know, the Oakland SGs to do an episode on.
Yeah. But I also want to take some pride in that. And I don't mean that for me or just Los Roots. There's a reason why they looked our way, right?
Something caught their eye.
Right. First of all, I think that the Roots media team is incredible. I love how they do things. Their edits and what they focus on it and their consistency is so cool. I mean, it has made me feel really important when they post us, you know, and the way that they edit and, of course, they're really cool cameras and stuff. It just makes it look so legit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how like a lot of their game recaps, they always put a shot of the crowd.
Yeah.
And most of the time is a shot of the SG section.
Yeah.
You know, we got the flags flying, the drums banging. Like,
yeah.
We got, you know, this whole thing going. So it gives it the whole vibe of the football experience, soccer experience. Like,
I want to say that not a lot of places are as colorful as we are, or as diverse as we are.
Yeah.
So again, it's really cool that they paid attention to us. But I also want to give credit to the people who've made that possible, which is, you know, every single game, bringing that energy, regardless of our scores or, you know, where we're at on the table. It's like we just continue to do so. And I also want to say that is also an Oakland thing. You know, we've shown it with the Raiders. Raiders have always sucked, but yet we've always been there chanting and being loud and stuff. And I know that that's exactly what we're doing here with the Roots. So we got to get filmed. And that was just kind of the interview process of things. And they also wanted to get some footage from
at the game, that was a Wednesday night game against El Paso.
And it sucks because normally on Wednesdays, we don't tailgate.
Yeah.
We don't.
We show up right after work.
Everybody.
Most of us.
Exactly. And not only us, but it's like the majority of the crowd sometimes doesn't show up on Wednesdays.
Yeah. I mean, a Wednesday night crowd is not going to be a Saturday night crowd.
Exactly. Yeah.
But man, we fucking got on it. We got on it, inviting everybody and their mama and fucking.
That's right, man. Shout out
to that section look deep.
Shout out to the Roots, first of all. Eddie, in particular. Eddie is such a great member to not only Los Roots, but like the entire supporter group section. This dude goes above and beyond to make sure that we are comfortable with what we have. Anything we request, he hooks it up. He helps us out. So anyways, huge shout out to Eddie, because even for that game, he helped us out with tickets. And he was able to get us enough tickets to where we were able to invite people that have never been to games.
Yeah, we invited a lot of people from the town, like that hadn't gone to a game.
Yeah.
And I was surprised, bro.
It was a lot of people. It didn't feel like a Wednesday.
We tailgated
hard,
and it was a big crowd. I was like, damn, look at this on a Wednesday night. And like you're saying, it surprised me a lot of people, like, oh wow, like, oh, I never been here before.
That's
this
the cool
is really
thing.
Cool. And it's like, yeah, man, come to the next game.
That's the really cool thing about, like, you can literally take anybody, even if he's not a soccer fan, take anybody, and the party itself in the stands is enough for people to be like, yo, I'm coming back.
Yeah.
And or something that I get often is, I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah.
You know, which to me, it's like, I'm still like, wow. Like, we've talked about this, right? Like, you'll run into people with an Oakland Roots shirt. Sure,
yeah.
And you're like, yeah, Roots. And they're like, what? But it's slowly catching on.
Yeah.
Of course, once we're in the Coliseum, fingers crossed, that's where it's going to be accessible to people. And by that, I mean BART, driving train, fucking boat, flying, even whatever you want.
Driving across the 880 and you're like, whoa, what's going on over there? You see the tailgating, the crowd, the flags. Mm-hmm. You're going to be interested in what's going on.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. Moving back to the town is going to be
really exciting. We were talking to some folks in... because we're also planning the move to Coliseum, where our section will be at. And one of the things that stood out for me was somebody said, we are expecting you guys, Los Roots, to grow by 300 to 400 people when we're in Oakland. And they're not wrong, right? Because a lot of the folks who are slowly trickling into Los Roots, they have a history with the Raiders or the tailgates or things like that. So when they see that we're creating or trying to recreate that same vibe, they're instantly hooked.
Yeah.
You know, because like we've said before, Raider tailgates were half of the fun. Sometimes we didn't even want to leave the tailgates. Yeah. We were forced to leave the area, but it was so much fun that it's like, why not just do this for the rest of the day?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And so, and a lot of times there were TVs there and everything. Like, you could watch the game while you were still tailgating.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And so I know that the people who are stepping foot into, first of all, the tailgates are starting to see bits and pieces of something that they truly miss.
Yeah.
And especially when they go into a game, you know, I love to see when people get to enjoy the march in.
Yeah.
Especially as their first experience, like they feel like a part of something.
Yeah.
You know, they're in the middle of the crowd and I see them just like looking around like, whoa, this is crazy.
Dude,
you know?
It was that game when we marched in, and then what kind of messes it up is you got to stop. We do the march up to the tickets, and then we got to stop, get scanned, and then get everybody back together again.
Yeah.
But I heard you saying, like, if you want to be part of the march, scoot to the right.
There's that little piece of grass.
Yeah. And there were people that weren't even part of the SGs that were like, oh yeah.
I want to do that.
Yeah, like, they scooted over, like, little families and shit. And yeah. I was like, oh, shit,
We packed that little area.
Yeah.
And so it's starting to become a tradition to where we, you know, kind of gather everybody there. People are listening, like, okay, don't move until the organizer says, hey, let's move. We march towards kind of the top of the bleacher area, and then we do like a couple chants in a circle there, which I really love that tradition there.
Yeah.
What I really enjoy about that is that there's, of course, already a bunch of fans inside, and they're buying food and beer and stuff, and we literally pause that whole section up, right? Like, everybody who's buying food, everybody who's getting drinks, whatever, everybody pauses to watch the show, right?
Yeah.
And it's cool. Everybody brings their phones out, and, you know, they're more aware that there's an actual supporter group section that does these kinds of rituals. And then we head down. We set up our banners and stuff. So anyways, that's really cool. Then we got to see the camera people from USL during that Wednesday game going around filming, getting footage. Did we lose that game?
No, we won 2-1.
Okay, all right. So then it's going to make for a great video then.
We won 2-1 against El Paso, which that one also, they scored right off the back, like in the fourth or fifth minute.
I remember being like, dang, not today. Not today, my guys. that one was cool.
But we were able to get it back, and we won 2-1. So that was really cool.
So wait, are we missing the doubleheader already? Was a doubleheader before that? Yeah.
The doubleheader was against Tampa Bay, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
See, that's my bad.
No, you're good. Yeah. No, I get it, because I was confused too. We'll just briefly talk about it. Doubleheader, if you guys don't know, doubleheader is when the Oakland Roots play and then Oakland Soul plays, or vice versa.
Yeah.
What is this, the second year?
For Soul, I believe so.
Well, that we do the double header.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah. For Soul too, it's their second year alive. But it's a lot of fun. It requires a lot of effort because it's you're not double tailgating, but preparing for double the people.
Yeah, two games.
We are drumming. Then that's what I wanted to say about the 90 minutes plus is that this is 90 minutes plus 90 minutes plus. You know, nonstop.
That doubleheader was.
Yeah, and we again got a lot of really good reviews and comments about the amount of energy that we were able to produce for that long.
Yeah.
You know, the commentators were talking about it. People on social media were talking about it. So it's always really cool to see that, you know, we're not just drumming to drum, but it's actually creating a buzz around, you know, folks who are attending the games.
Yeah, yeah. That was the second year with a doubleheader. And something to mention, too, that we've been going to a lot of soul games and making it happen there with the drums, too.
Very true. Very true. I know that the first year we wanted to we were still developing Los Roots.
Yeah.
And we had so much that we wanted to accomplish that doing both didn't seem right.
Yeah.
You know, I also want to point out that I went to a soul game last year and it was so quiet. And so I didn't want to, the way that we drum, we are loud.
Yeah.
As loud
as
we can.
There's no soft drumming.
Ain't no soft drumming with us. You've seen me go through sticks.
Yeah.
Like that, you know? A new fucking case of sticks, I'll go through them like butter, you know? And the reason for that is the intensity that I'm playing with, right? So one thing that I noticed when I started to go to soul games last year was that you can hear all the players call out plays or talk to each other, the coaches. And to me, it seemed like a tennis match.
Yeah.
Where everything's just quiet. Yeah. I remember like somebody took, I don't know why I'm starting to whisper, but but I remember when there was one of the games that I attended to and there was a drum. Somebody took a drum. And I remember they were playing it so lightly, but it sounded so loud. And I was like, yo, like there's no way we can bring drums to this thing, right? But like you said, this year we've definitely focused on going to soul games. And this is, I think, a perfect time to shout out the women that make up Los Roots, right?
Yes, sir.
They have been with us since day one, of course. They do what we can't do. They hold it down when we can't. We are blessed enough to be able to focus on certain things, and they make up for everything else that's left behind. And what I truly appreciate about them is that they are creating their own path with us. And by that, I mean is that they're not consistently asking us, what do we do? What do we do? It's like we can set a task and they take charge in whatever they need to do, you know?
And not just that, they've been honest. Like, you know, we have a game and they're like already trying to organize the next game. It's like so what are we doing for this one?
Yeah.
Like they're already a game ahead of you and I already on organizing the next tailgate, the next
food,
event,
drinks,
everything.
Yeah. So
it's amazing to have them. It's really cool.
Really cool element to have. So with that said, we were able to create or develop a kind of like a spinoff of Los Roots, which is Last Roots.
Last Roots.
You know, and this is something that I like that I was able to present to them and have them choose their things, right? Yeah. Like I, of course, do the designs for Los Roots. But what I enjoyed the most out of that was that I was able to present them with different designs, different color schemes.
Yeah.
And they get to pick all of that. So I one thing I do want is for them to feel like they created their own movement, right?
Yeah.
And so they requested the drums to be there.
Yeah.
I wasn't too sure because I was like, yo, I don't know if it's the space to do that.
Yeah.
And we showed up for their first game in Stockton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we made some noise.
Yeah. You know? Dude, the owner of the team, of the Stockton team, came over and thanked us, shook our hand. And
he was intimidated.
Yeah.
He was like, he called the front office and was like, hey, I see Los Roots over here.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to bother them, you know. Is it safe to go and talk to them?
Was it safe to come up to us? Like,
And they're like, And of course, you know, we're super friendly. So if anybody ever wants to come and join our section or our group or whatever.
Yeah,
come talk to us, man.
Come say hi.
Everybody's welcome. Yes, and sir. Most of the time, especially for tailgates, we prepare for everybody, not just for our group. We are not a group where we don't allow people in. Anybody and everybody's welcome, and we get it from, you know, all around the Bay Area. We get folks joining us. We just had I can't remember if it was the doubleheader or which one, but we've had some members from the San Jose Ultras bring their family, their kids. And so I love to see that. We just got a member from the San Jose Epicentro come and drum with us.
Yeah, he came and drum with us. Yeah, that was really cool.
And he was really good, too.
Yeah, he was really good.
So
you could see the experience, bro. He told me he's been doing it like over 10 years. I was like, yeah,
I could tell.
Could hear it.
Yeah.
I could hear it.
And it's really cool, you know, just to see how many people are starting to notice us.
Yeah.
And that we are allowing them to have space for them to, whatever. Hey, if you want to bring a drum, bring it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just make sure you're following our lead. And
you know what? In like that Wednesday game, it was really cool seeing so many people, so many new people. But also, man, it had me. I was getting pulled left and right. Like,
so busy.
Yeah, like, come meet this person and come meet this person and talk to this person.
That's cool.
And that's really cool. And, you know, if you guys ever come out to a tailgate or to a game and you guys see us, like, don't be afraid to come up and then say what's up and talk to us. Even if you see us, like,
super a little busy.
Like, you know, just come say what's up. We'll give you the time that we could, because we're also doing this and that.
A bunch of things.
But, you know, please come over.
And it's everybody, right?
Yeah.
It's there is a core group. Not only, of course, Juan and I, we lead this thing, but ultimately, Los Roots is made out of, like, a bunch of people.
It's a lot of people.
And everybody's just as welcoming, and everybody will kind of show you the ropes and the rules and what we do and how we do things. Again, you know, it's like we have a bar where we offer drinks to everybody. We always collect donations.
Yeah.
One of the main reasons is for drum maintenance, or we just spend a lot,
man,
too, right?
Yeah.
Including this, right? We were talking about the podcast itself, how much it costs to get the podcast in the air, and it starts to get difficult when it's coming out of your own pocket. So that's why we ask for these donations.
Yeah, everything, you guys know, everything costs money, and it's fun, but also whenever people could help with donations, it helps out because,
a lot.
Man, this is expensive.
Yeah, and even with donations, we still pay out,
of pocket for
a lot of things. Ultimately, it's passion what drives this,
you know,
but
definitely.
The more help we can get, the more things we can bring out, right? Like,
like this last time having to fix all the drums, damn.
Yeah, dude.
Damn.
Yeah. It was expensive, you know, and each head is pricey.
Yeah.
And, you know, to go through... you know, the upkeep of these drums once or twice a year, it's a hit, you know?
Yeah.
And so I remember the little money that we had in our bank, it like got depleted pretty quickly because of a few things, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but anyways, we still do it with love. We'll continue to do it. So if anybody ever gets a chance to donate, please do so. If you don't know how to.
Yeah, anything helps.
Anything helps, yeah. And we try to provide something cool in return.
Yeah,
We don't just ask for money. We actually bring DJs.
Yeah,
we had Jarritos Margarita.
Oh, we had that one Jarrito Margarita day. Yeah. And
Palomas.
Yeah, beer. Fucking
yeah.
And also we've done fundraisers. We had the fundraiser. We had the autographed jerseys. And July 6th, we're doing the Backpack for a Backpack.
Yeah, that's right. And that's a really cool movement and project from Hijas del Campo.
Yes, sir.
You know, and Hijas del Campo, I've heard so much about them. One of our close members, Melissa, is involved.
Yeah,
Carla also
works with them.
And, you know, they do a lot for the campesino community.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And so, you know, we all know that working on the field is super tough.
Yeah.
With any weather that's out there, just working outdoors and, you know, having to work on fields is just never easy. What sucks about that is that the pay is never, it never matches the type of work.
Yeah.
And so,
it's backbreaking work.
Yeah.
And it's something that we all need. I mean, it's easy for us to go to the supermarket and get our fruits and stuff there, but to see where it really comes from,
yeah,
and how people work to pick all that stuff, it's nice to be a part of this with Hijas del Campo
And give back. And give back. Yeah.
Try to help out in one way or another.
Yeah, and so this project was brought up to us by Hijas del Campo and Melissa. They brought it up to my attention, and instantly it was like, yeah, we can easily help. We want to commit ourselves to this many backpacks. We got Oakland Roots involved. I'm not sure just yet where they're at, but at least for us, we've already announced that July 6th at the tailgate area. If you guys have never been, it's Lot A in the Cal State East Bay parking lot.
Yes, sir.
And so we normally tailgate, I want to say, from 2 to 5:30-ish. At least there's people already there. And so for July 6th, what we are hoping to do is to raise both money, backpacks, and school supplies. Yeah. If you can do all three, great. If you can do one, dope. But what we wanted to give in return to was it's these drawstring bags, right? And those are those kind of canvas bags.
Yeah.
You know, and then they just have like these kind of shoelaces type of you put them around your arms. It's a mini backpack, but I'll be designing the logo for it, and then I'm gonna print out a bunch of them. And so we are hoping that we can exchange one of your new backpacks for one of our limited edition Los Roots bags. And also, with every new backpack that is donated, you will get a raffle ticket. And so we're working on the prizes right now. I know I'll be donating some Los Roots merch, and I know that the moment that I bring this up to Oakland Roots, they'll be able to provide us with something
cool,
you know.
Yeah.
So I know Carla had worked on a couple of baskets with tequila.
Yeah,
and
different little giveaways.
Yeah. So it'll be cool. It's a lot of fun, and again, it's for a really, really great cause. I know Hijas del Campo has teamed up with what is it? Al Pastor Papi?
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
And that's this Saturday, as in tomorrow.
Okay.
So if you buy a burrito... No, sorry. If you donate a backpack to Al Pastor Papi, you get a free burrito.
Oh, nice.
Which is cool. Yeah. So it's cool to see, you know, and call it what it is. I love to see the Latino community coming together to help these types of causes, because if we have a platform, why not use it?
Yeah,
you know, especially for something so beneficial like that. This is intended to help out the kids of the campesinos, because as we said, the pay it does not match the type of work that they do. And so even them working long hours, it still leaves a lot of people without the opportunity to buy these kinds of supplies for their kids, right? So if we can donate, great, and make their lives better, great. I also do want to say that Hijas del Campo, and I have them tagged in one of our recent posts, so if you can, go check their page out. One really cool thing about it is that I've been asked by different people, like, hey, what if I can't make it? How can I donate? The really cool thing about this is that they also have an Amazon wish list on their page. I'm going to see if I can add it to the link in our bio, but it'll send you straight to their Amazon wish list. So if you cannot make the game, please feel free to donate there and buy one of their backpacks. Again, it's going to help a lot of kids in need. So let's move on to... And real quick, just to finish off, we did a really cool TIFO.
Yeah,
for the doubleheader. Yeah, and I want to talk about it just because it's one of my favorites, you know, and I love the colors.
Yeah, that thing was colorful. That shit was really cool.
Yeah, it said, so we had at the top of it, it was the logo of Sol.
Yeah.
Right, kind of like the sun and their colors. And then under the second half was the mosaic.
Yeah.
And right in the middle, it said two teams, one love.
Yeah.
And it's something that we had planned for a long time, but didn't execute it until the week of, because of how busy we were. But it came out really cool. I know we're not supposed to use TIFOs more than once, but I can only imagine that this TIFO can be used at a different doubleheader, maybe.
Yeah.
One of my ideas was for the team to have the TIFO, Because I think it would look great somewhere in there. Yeah, in their facility really cool. or something. Because both teams practice together and that's all that. Right. So it would be an honor to have them have that TIFO. And I'll reach out at some point because
that's a really cool
idea. Really well made, you know. And TIFOs aren't cheap.
They're not cheap.
And the paint's not cheap. And the efforts are not easy, you know. So it's like that. I can't imagine, like, look at LAFC. Look at the type of TIFOs that these dudes bring.
Huge.
Out. Fucking gigantic.
And fucking a lot of detail, too.
Bro, so much money, time, pain, effort, and then it's just used once.
One time.
I want to know what they use, what they do with
them. What do you do with something so big? Like, where do you store them all?
Yeah, or do you guys donate some? I don't know. Yeah. Like, what do you guys do?
Because, like, ours.
Can you recycle any of it?
Yeah, because, like, ours, you have some. I think I have some here in the garage.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like, why can't we do something else with them?
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's like a, what is it? It's like bad luck.
If you is reuse that what
That's
is?
What I've heard. Yeah,
I remember luck. Just hearing like you don't reuse a TIFO. Yeah. So
I think it's got to do with luck. And I guess it also has to do with like, well, why not create a new one?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like.
Which that one was really fun because of all the colors. I remember. One funny thing, when we were painting it, you know, it has red, orange, green, and blue. And I think I was doing the red or the orange or something. But to me at that point, red and orange looked exactly the same. I was like, I don't know about this. This looks the same. But once it dried, it was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah,
you can see the difference.
You know what? Me, I paint murals for a living, and so I get that so often.
Yeah.
Customers are not happy. And I'm like, yo.
They show paint, up when you're painting it. And
let the paint dry. Because it's a whole other tone when it's wet. Yeah. You know? So I remember one of my most recent murals, I had to paint the ceiling a certain color. And then I had to color match the color of their ceiling already. So it's weird. So I had to paint half of the ceiling blue. But then I also had to use their paint to kind of blend the blue into their actual ceiling color.
Yeah.
And so I went and got the paint color matched and everything. And dude, I started to like fade the blue and it looked so bad. Like it looked like I was using a pink paint. And the owner comes down and he's like, is this how it's going to be? And I was like, me not knowing if it was going to be cool or not, if the paint did get color matched or not, I was like, hey, man, let's let it dry and let's see what happens. And yeah, dude, I got there the next day.
And it was all
good. Fucking perfect.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So, goes to show, you know, it looks completely different when you're painting it.
Yeah.
And until it dries, you're like, wow. Because even, like, when I saw the pictures of the TIFO, I was like, yo, like, it looks way brighter.
Yeah, it's really bright. Yeah, I like that. It's one of my favorite TIFOs that we've done.
Yeah. Just and shout out to the people who came out and helped.
Everybody that helped.
It makes it so much, first of all, so much easier. But I also love the bonding that happens because it's not only Los Roots.
Yeah.
You have people from Forever Oakland. You had people from
the hooligans
step in and just kind of paint. Yeah. And, you know, it's just to kind of share those moments where people take time out of their day.
Yeah.
Like at Line 51, you know, this is a day where there's no game, no nothing. And people still showed up and committed themselves to helping paint, which, you know, a TIFO that big, it's. You realize how much work.
Yeah, you require a lot of hands.
And for one person to do it's pretty tough. Yeah. So I used to knock them out myself, you know, but I was like, yo, I need some help with this, you know. And so luckily, you know, our people always step up and we finished that. So anyways, just wanted to bring the TIFO up.
One other event that we had in June was the Coliseum cleanup.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That was another cool event that we got to do something for Oakland.
Yeah.
It was
set up by
Forever Oakland. Yeah, Forever Oakland set it up and invited us, the hooligans, I believe some of the other SGs.
The front office.
Yeah, the front office. Yeah.
Noel
Gallo. Was there. Yeah. And that was really cool, man. We were over there by the Coliseum. We cleaned up all along the front of the Coliseum, which is 66, and some of the side streets.
Yeah,
and then,
which is where they tailgate.
Yeah,
that's their traditional spot.
Tailgate spot from back in the
Raider
days.
And I think that's
what
adopt the spot is.
Oh, and they adopted that spot. Yeah, that's right.
So basically, you commit to keeping that area clean.
Yeah,
which is cool. But it was fun, you know, just getting there super early, coffee, mimosas, all kinds of stuff going on. And then seeing not only the supporters, but the actual front house kind of come in and help.
Yeah, the front office was there helping out. That was really cool.
Idris.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
You know, people, what's his name? Aldridge.
Aldridge was there, yeah.
And so to see people who can easily not go. Mm-hmm. And worry about other things, rightfully so, right? They're super busy and stuff. To come out and get dirty with us, you know, and kind of clean up. Idris probably brought like 2-3 bags, man.
Yeah.
Like he was nonstop going, and he kind of went on his own, you know, and I saw him deep down 66.
Mike too. Mike and his son just walked off just picking up a whole bag full of garbage.
And what's crazy is how quickly we cleaned that whole area up.
Dude, it was fast. Like, brrr,
like ants.
And then, what's the car club's name?
Ooh, let me look it up.
Yeah, well, the car club and a group of other people, they split up and they went and they cleaned up over on 98th. They cleaned up that park
That's
over
true.
There.
They went to like 3 locations total,
right? Yeah, but it goes to show how many people came out to this cleanup to where it was like, okay, we cleaned this area up so quick. Let's go get some other spots.
The car club is called Street Sense.
Street Sense. Shout out to Street Sense. Yeah. They showed up too to the Coliseum cleanup. They've been to a couple games, pull up in all their muscle cars and shit.
And they actually committed themselves to donating backpacks.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So it's cool that to have them around.
Yeah.
You know, and for them to kind of get active with the movements that we've got going on. Because one thing is just to show up for the party.
Yeah.
And enjoy that part of it, which is cool. But to actually commit yourself to helping the causes that are happening, that shows a lot, too.
Yeah, you know? Hell yeah. So that was another cool thing in our busy-ass June that we had. That's when I look at my fucking notes, it's just June.
Everything happened
June,
that month.
June was off the hook.
Yeah.
So we had the away game in SAC. We came back just like a few days later and did the Wednesday night game. And then... bam, Saturday, we're traveling to Monterey.
Yeesh. I want to point out that, first of all, you know, home games, we've kind of got it down, you know, on what we bring to the tailgates and just kind of our process. But away games are a whole other animal because it's a lot of planning, especially for a lot of supporters, right? And a lot of people in Los Roots also depend on our organization, like how we organize ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. So I catch myself even on days off consistently, you know, we're checking van rentals. We're consistently talking about what time are we going to go? Where are we going to meet up?
Yeah. The thing about us, we like to roll together.
Yeah.
So,
and include whoever wants to be a part of it.
We try to. That's been something we've been doing a lot this year is getting these van rentals because we could fit way more people instead of taking a bunch of cars.
Yeah.
You know, we could do less vehicles.
Yeah.
And,
we organize the tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we buy all the tickets for everyone. Yeah. And,
so it's a lot of work, especially for away games because home games, everybody buys their ticket.
Yeah.
You know, home games, you don't have to travel. You don't have to take anybody. Yeah. You don't have to plan the van or anything.
Yeah.
So it's these away games. So then we had SAC, which was a lot of planning.
Yeah.
I remember like we would get asked like, we're barely heading to SAC, right? And somebody would be like, hey, but what's the plan for Monterey? And I'm like, listen, let's get past this game.
We're not even in SAC yet. And you're asking me about the next one.
Yeah, dude. And that's kind of how you got to take it sometimes because it can be overwhelming trying to plan it all at the same time.
Yeah.
So even Eddie himself, right? Like we would ask him questions about a different game. He's like, give me a sec. Let's finish SAC first, you know, and then we'll move on to the next one.
Yeah, but so Monterey, we left early. It's another fucking like 2-hour drive, 2-hour to SAC.
Well, they changed the hour.
Oh, that's the other thing. That's right. It was supposed to be a 7 o'clock game, mm-hmm. but this game ended up being on ESPN2, and it was a 3 o'clock game, I believe, right?
Yeah. Which I kind of like.
Yeah, it was
cool. I don't like that they switched it. That's the thing.
But it was cool.
But I liked the day.
Yeah, because we didn't get off hella late, hella tired. Like, honestly, even after chanting through the whole game and we were done, I was still cool. Like, we were in the parking lot still, yeah. Like, eh, eh.
Yeah, yeah. No, true. I want to say that even the last times that we've been to Monterey, everybody's rushing to get home, bro.
Yeah.
Everyone's tired. It's late at night.
It's late at night. Two-hour drive.
Two-hour drive. You get home hella late. Yeah. And, you know, there are folks who you get up super early, and so it really messes with your entire schedule, even for the day after. So 3 p.m. worked. Not only that, we got to enjoy some breakfast together, yeah, as a group, which is a lot of fun, man. I love these bonding experiences.
Yeah, we went to, what was the name of that restaurant we went to
from,
out there?
From Scratch.
From Scratch, yeah. And shout out to Mo for getting there early and
organizing
the tables and shit. Yeah.
It was like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, about 20 to 22 people.
Yeah, but dude, that place, that food was really good.
It was,
I could,
man,
tell it was literally from scratch.
Yeah,
like,
dude. The portions
was good.
Were good.
The portions were, that was one thing I was like, man, we could have shared.
Yeah.
Because
they say that I work at a restaurant and the portions are huge. And everybody's always like, why didn't you tell us the portions are so big? We could have shared.
Yeah. Yeah. I ended up taking half of my food to Monterey.
My dad. Yeah. A lot of people ended up asking for a
foil. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But that restaurant reminds me of Buttercup here in Oakland. I like the portions and, you know, the options and stuff. So really cool place to visit. I'll definitely be back for sure. And then so we got to go to, one thing about Monterey, man, it's their no tailgating policy.
Dude, that I've heard no tailgating before. Like, other times we've gone to Sacramento and they told us no tailgating. And we still kicked it outside our vehicle. Security passes by. They don't say shit. But this time,
harassing. That was harassment.
They were fucking like, were basically harassing, parking their vehicles right next to us and shit.
Doing circles right in front of us.
Yeah.
And telling us to get out. Not only that, is that
saying they were going to give us tickets.
All of us. Yeah. We were going to get tickets if we didn't move.
Like, we're
waiting on more people.
Yeah.
And they didn't care, you know? And I remember one of the cops that came up to us right away, he was like, he was a fucking dick to me. And he was like, I don't mean to be an asshole. And I was like, no, you're being a fucking asshole, bro. Like from the get-go, you are being exactly that. Yeah. And you can't excuse yourself by saying, I don't mean to be one. It's
but
like,
here we go.
But like, what have we done to you?
Yeah.
We're standing here. You asked us to close our trunks.
And we did.
We closed our trunks. You asked us to get rid of our drinks. We got rid of our drinks.
We got rid of the drinks.
You asked us to stop playing music. We stopped playing music. And then you guys are driving around us like sharks.
Yeah.
You know? And so slow.
Yeah.
And every
making
time,
it super obvious that they were just driving there for us.
Yeah, I remember when they first showed up, dude, they drove from the entrance.
Smashing.
Yeah. And I knew they were coming after us.
Yeah, we all saw them coming straight towards us.
And it's like, yo, relax, man. Like, it sucks. Honestly, luckily it's a once a year experience.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel bad for their fans.
I know. And their fans did come up to us and say, you know, sorry. Like,
that's just how it is here.
Yeah, that's how it is there. And we had so much. They were like, we had so much fun when we got to tailgate over at your gate and your stadium.
They wish it was like that.
Yeah.
And I think it's like part of the same.
The California school system or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird to see because, you know, we are really lucky that we get to tailgate not only before the game, but after the game, we have a curfew. We respect. We clean up our space.
Yeah.
You know, it's starting to now. We're starting to build this relationship with the campus police, where they know us, and they know we're gonna play music, and they know we're gonna fucking throw cake around when it's anybody's birthday or whatever. But ultimately, they don't fuck with us.
Yeah,
they're just, you know, they're there to let us know, hey, it's 10:30, y'all gotta go, right? But that's a fair trade. Like, we have gone as far as maybe like 2 a.m. before.
Yeah,
and I understand we can't do that every time. So for them to kind of say, hey, okay, we'll work with you guys, instead of, let's say, like the Raiders, right, where the Raiders, literally the moment the game's over, everybody needs to leave.
Oh, yeah, the sheriffs get on you.
Yeah, yeah, and there is no ifs or buts. You got to go. So for, you know, the staff or the police, the campus police here at Cal State East Bay, for them to meet us in the middle and say, okay, what time is game over? 7, 8, 9, 9, 9:30?
9:30.
For them to allow us one more hour of getting shit-faced at the parking lot. It's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, and shout out to them and the team too for working that deal out, because there's so much to talk about after games.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
People are still very active, a lot of energy. There's still some beers left over and people just want to have fun.
Yeah.
I think that this is a perfect way to bring up birthdays. You know, because one thing that we do after the game, especially at home, that's when we celebrate birthdays.
Yeah.
Right. I think you guys know, as Los Roots, we are predominantly a Latino supporter group, and we continue to keep our traditions alive. One of them is we call it pastelazo, right? Some people can see it as a little bit aggressive. Some are cool with it. And a lot of folks understand it. But I can still see the look of confusion in some people's eyes. Like, why would you waste that perfectly good cake on someone's face? You know? But it's part of the tradition. We even tell people, do not bring an expensive cake.
Yeah.
Because it's going to end up on someone's face and on the floor. You know? And so we've had a few birthdays since our last podcast. I think mine was the one right after April 22nd. We had Beto.
Yeah.
We've had Melissa. We've had Cynthia, Ceci.
Luis.
Boltar. Luis. Who else have we had that we've smashed some cakes?
Been a lot of cake smashing.
Yeah, yeah. But it's fun. So, you know, first of all, happy birthday to everybody who's been part of our group. I love that we get to celebrate everybody's birthday at a game. Even if it doesn't land on the game, we'll pick the nearest one and celebrate them, you know, because they deserve it. We all deserve it to be recognized on our birthdays and stuff and feel special, because ultimately sometimes we spend our birthdays at games.
Yeah.
You know, so really cool on that end. And again, you know, the tradition of smacking cakes on people's faces can sometimes leave a mess. So I'm grateful that the campus police has never given us a hard time about that.
Yeah, we always clean it up and
We do the best we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's really fun.
Yeah.
But going back to Monterrey, we fucking we lost 2-1, but
we did. This is something a bit important for me and for us as Los Roots, is that one thing we realized was that their supporter section split.
We saw that. That's, you know, right. Yeah.
And I think we, as a unit, support the move, you know, because if you guys have been involved with us, you guys might understand or know that there has been some difficulties within our own section, you know, with different supporter groups. And so one thing that we've considered in the past is moving sections, you know. Luckily, we've been able to somehow work it out. But to see them actually take the step and leave the section, first of all, that takes guts to do. You know that you're going to confuse a lot of folks when you do that. But I do understand that sometimes you cannot squeeze people together, expect for it always to work.
Yeah.
This might sound a little bit bad, but sometimes I feel like it's a culture clash between folks, where certain cultures can do something a little different and other folks might not understand that. By that I mean, you know, the amount of noise, the type of music, the type of chants, it can all cause a bit of friction between supporter groups. So I do want to shout them out. Los hinchas de Salinas.
Hinchas de Salinas, yes, sir.
It's one of the, I don't want to say one of the only, but it is definitely the SG that I always look at when I go there. They are always making noise. They are always, sorry guys, we're experiencing some bodily difficulties.
Go ahead, keep going, bro.
I got to tell the people what's going on, because they're going to be like, what the fuck is going on over there? Juan just got a, what is it called?
A cramp.
A cramp
I got a bad
on your leg.
Cramp on my
foot. And he had to get up. We've been sitting for a while, so he got a cramp and he had to get up. So anyways, Los Hinchas, those guys are always bringing the noise. They bring the drums. It's the only ones who I've truly seen put a lot of effort into trying to grow their supporter section. So to see them make the move and understanding why they made the move, we as Los Roots want to support what they got going on. It might not be a permanent thing, but ultimately they are having their voices heard in making such a big step. Luckily for us, we've been able to work it out with the majority of the supporter groups to where we didn't have to move, and we're able to, you know, kind of work on what's expected in our section, you know. So going back to the game, we lost. It felt good to have a drum there for the first time in Monterey.
Yeah,
they
that's
don't allow
right.
drums.
Yeah, last couple of times we've been there, it was no drums, no flags, or were we allowed?
Yeah, no drums, no nothing, flags, no right? nothing, yeah. nothing. But I also want to say that this is due to the way we've treated their supporter groups in our home. Yeah. You know, allowing them to tailgate, allowing them to bring drums, and
oh yeah, yeah, how much we allow them to have over here. Yeah. It gave them a reason to let us
right.
take a drum.
Yeah. Right, and I know that was the because at first they had said no, nothing at all, and then Eddie was able to talk to him and say, hey, look, guys, we allow you guys to do all this other shit, and their team was like, ah, okay, you know, we'll allow you to bring in a drum, which it always makes a difference to have a full drum and not just counting on people clapping or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Know? Especially it's a great way to start chants and everything. Yeah. You just start with a bang, bang, and people,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
start
they know.
Rolling with
yeah.
it. Yeah.
We lost that game. It sucked because it would have been a really nice streak to have.
Oh, we had won three in a row before that. Yeah. That would have been the fourth one. And, dude, honestly, we had so many chances.
Ah, man.
So many chances to
Johnny
score.
Johnny bangers.
Yeah, Johnny had, besides the banger that he scored, there was the one that he barely missed to the left. And
he missed a penalty? Yeah.
Ah.
I know. He missed a penalty, bro.
Yeah. One funny thing that when we talk about SG's getting quiet before that, like when they were winning 1-0, you know, they had the roar. And when we tied, they were quiet for
Super
a while.
Quiet. That's what I don't like, man. It's like, hey, be consistent.
Even though it's shout out to Inchas because, yeah,
they
we
keep
could
going.
Hear them the whole game across the
yeah,
the
yeah,
field.
They keep going. It's just the little hecklers that were in front of us.
Oh, those
you know,
guys.
They're you know, taunting us when they're winning, but when we're tied or whatever, they're just quiet.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah, dude, be consistent. We do it all the time when we're, even if we're losing, it's like we look at each other and we're like, well, time to go harder, because there's no way that goal is going to shut us down. We're not going to allow the other team to make fun of us because they scored on us and now we're quiet.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, now, okay, cool. You scored on the team.
Yeah.
But we get to keep
going.
We're going to
keep going. Yeah.
So anyways, just to kind of wrap it up, it's Monterey was not a success, but that's okay. We're still in third place.
Yeah, we're luckily still in third place. The only thing is that we've played a couple more games than the other teams in front and behind us. We've played 17 games. Mm. I think Sacramento has played like 15, and also the first place team has played like 15.
Oh, yeah.
So there's even, I don't know if it's the fourth or fifth place team, they've only played like 14 games. So, I mean, they can still get a lot of points.
Yeah.
And be like, there's only like a 2-point difference between us and fourth, fifth, and sixth. So a lot tight. Could happen. There's still a lot of season left. This shit don't end till October.
Nine home games.
Yeah.
That's right. Wow,
yeah.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah,
left.
There's still a lot of games left. Like I said, this shit don't end till October, bro.
Yeah.
But next home game will be July 6th. Come through.
Yeah.
And this weekend, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a watch party. The team has announced it.
Yeah, I can remember, and I don't have it from the top of my head, but one really cool thing about watch parties is that a lot of the supporter groups are there.
Yeah.
The team, they do a really good job at doing trivia.
Oh, yeah, they've been giving out prizes and shit, some cool prizes, too.
And sometimes there's player appearances,
yeah,
you know, if there's like an injured player that couldn't make the game, They'll stick around and they'll be at the watch party. So it's a lot of fun, man. We used to not attend them like that. We used to kind of, you know, like go to our own. Shit. Yeah. But and rightfully so, because sometimes we'll have meetings during those away games or drum practice.
Yeah.
So it's cool to kind of experience that and realize how much work is also being put into away games and how much of a home that the Roots have tried to give us, even at these like local bars, which is cool, because we get to experience places that we probably wouldn't go into.
That's right. I've gone to a lot of spots ever since I started going to these watch parties that I had never
tried their food, their beer.
It's pretty cool.
And for a lot of folks, I know that those now start to become a spot that they'll go to now, right? So they'll put it in their arsenal. Like if they ever want to go out, they're like, oh, yeah, I know Seawolf.
Yeah.
Or I know this other place, you know? So it's cool. So if you guys ever get a chance, please stop by and visit the away games,
the watch parties.
So I guess we'll wrap it up.
Yes, sir.
A lot to talk about. We're gonna try and continue to do these podcasts. Definitely June was a major reason why we couldn't do the podcast. But now that June's over, we can only hope that we can continue these podcasts.
Yeah, and this weekend we play Orange County, and I know Steve from the Hooligans, and I know
he's out there already.
Yeah, he's already out there. A couple people made the trip. So, you know, let's get him, man. Make some noise out there.
Yeah. And then just to finish it off, because we haven't had a podcast in a while, and for those who are new, we do have a form of sign up for Los Roots. If you guys want to know more news, or there's some really cool stuff on this app called the Chant app. There is a link on our bio. You can become a member through that outlet. And what's cool about it is that we communicate all the news that are, you know, TIFO painting or whatever is going on. We communicate it through there. Everybody gets alerts and you're aware of what's going on. We also get to play games like the score prediction.
Yeah.
That everybody, you know, enters their prediction, and at the end of the game, you gain points and stuff. So anyways, if you guys ever want to be a part of the Los Roots, there's a couple options to go about that. One is to go through the Chant app. And number two, man, I get a lot of questions like, hey, how can I become a member? Show up. That is definitely the only requirement, right? Yeah. Show up, hang out with us, enjoy what we have, bring your family, your kids. It's totally a family-friendly environment. We allow the kids to play drums all the time. We try to bring extras. And I do want to say that I have definitely caught parents having this like proud look on their face when they get to see their kids being part of the whole drum line.
Yeah, you know? When they tag us on their videos and like,
yeah,
the kids,
man, who wouldn't be
drums?
Excited?
Yeah,
you know. So we're grateful that we can provide that space for them as well. So if you guys ever want to stop by, I know we are predominantly Latinos, but everybody is truly welcome.
Yeah, come through. Si habla inglés.
Si habla inglés, just a little bit. All right, guys, thanks for joining us. We will try to bring a podcast pretty soon, and we will talk to you guys soon. Go Roots.
Vamos.